2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. I just want to jump in here for time's sake. And Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And he tells them, he says that our rejoicing is this, and the testimony of our conscience is that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I trust and I hope and I pray that in the same way that you are our rejoicing, Paul and his ministry friends, he says, I hope and trust that we are your rejoicing as well in the labors that we extend toward you and try to bring to you in preaching to you the Word of God. He says, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. In other words, I had a mind for this to happen. I had planned to come a second time to see you. I was going to pass by, go into Macedonia, then I would come out of Macedonia and come in to see you here at Corinth. And then I wanted and desired that you would help come and be with me on my journey and escort me as I returned to Judea. And when I therefore was thus minded, he asked a question. He says, now think, when I was thinking along those lines and I'm sharing what my thoughts were, he says, I ask you a question. When I did that, when I had those thoughts about coming to see you a second time, did I use lightness? In other words, was I flippant? Was I somewhat careless? Was I not all that serious-minded about my task and about my journey? Did I use lightness? Or do the things that I propose, do I propose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? That's an interesting statement. I've read this most of my life. Never have tried to preach on it. But if the Lord would help me this morning, I want to try to preach on these last three verses. He says, when I was minded to come and see you, did I do it with lightness? Was my plan and my intentions, was it anything associated with the flesh? Was it some less than honorable intentions that I was about to come and see you and to visit with you? That maybe when I got there, that the things that I would have to say to you would be a big mixture of yea and nay. A big mixture. He says, was it that way? He says in verse 18, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. That's very interesting. He says, I'm asking you the question, did I come that way? Did I come thinking I'm going to come in the flesh and that everything I had to say to you, I was going to say a lot of different things? Some things would be yea and in the positive, and then there would be many other things that would be nay in the negative. Is that the way I came? And he says, no. He says, as God is true, he says, I didn't come that way, but my work towards you, he says, our word towards you, in other words, the preaching that we brought to you was not yea and nay, but it was yea. He says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And 20 years of being ordained and trying to preach, I guess almost every Sunday, I mean, there may have been a couple that I couldn't for some reason. I might have been traveling, just probably count them on one hand. I've never tried to preach on this verse. I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon really on it. Once again, it caught my eye this week. And as much as I cast about in the scriptures and trying to pray and ask God what we might could look at and would be appropriate for today, it seems like this is what came to my mind. So here we are. How about that? Paul says, our preaching, when we came to you and we preached to you about Jesus Christ, he says it wasn't any mixture of things that I preached. He said it wasn't a mixture of things in the positive and affirmative. He says, and then mixed with things in the negative, such as nay and nay. This part's yea and this part's nay. But he says, when we preached Jesus to you, it was all yea. That word yea and nay, that's something we don't use much today, is it? I guess that's old English. We don't use it much, but I actually use it sometimes. Me and a couple of friends, we used to have a dear friend that lived in Mississippi, and he said yea and nay all the time. I think that's where we picked it up from. But I actually looked it up. I know we don't use it much today, especially you young people. You probably have never heard anybody saying yea and nay. Yea means a little bit stronger than just a plain and simple yes. It means a strong affirmation. It means verily, truly, and assuredly. That's what yea means. It's stronger than yes. Nay just means no. It pretty much means no. Isn't that interesting? So Paul says, when I came to you, my thoughts to you, and he'd already been there once, and now he was planning to come again. I don't think he had been just yet, his second trip. But he says, when my mind was this way, he says, I want you to be reminded, all the preaching that we did to you about Jesus Christ, it was all yea and it was no nay. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like we live in a world today where there's a lot of nay. There's a lot of no. Which one of us has ever been to a restaurant and you ask the waiter or the waitress, could I substitute this vegetable for whatever is on the menu? No, I'm sorry, no. You can't do that. Maybe you've gone to your tax accountant and asked, can I claim this on my taxes? No, you sure can't. No. Over and over in life, it seems like every day I run into no. It's no this, no that. Some of us may be of the mind and we say, can I have part in my own medical situation? Can I help make my own decisions concerning my own health and things like that? No, you must do as we say. You must do this or do that. It's a lot of nay. We live in a world of nay. But Paul says, when it comes to Jesus Christ, it's not nay. He says, our preaching was not yea, yea, and nay, nay. It was all yea. I'm glad that we're here this morning together, because I want to try to talk to you a little bit about someone who is all yea. Someone who is all yea and can help. And Paul says, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Well, the word amen is almost identical definition for yea. It means firm, surely, truly, so be it, so it is, may it be fulfilled. You know, at the giving of thanks, we oftentimes say, amen, so be it, may it be fulfilled. The end of our prayers in church and all we, and some of the songs, at the end of some of the hymns that we sing, what do we sing? Amen, so be it. The wonderful lyrics, wonderful words, doctrinally true scriptural hymns we love to sing. And at the end, we'll sometimes sing, amen, so be it, so it is. May it be fulfilled. How firm and how surely and truly it is. Yea and amen mean the same thing. All the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God. You think about a promise this morning. You just think along through the Bible. You think about different places in the scriptures, and you try to think about some of the promises that God has given us. Whenever you find one, whenever you think of one and you identify one, think about Jesus Christ being the yea and the amen of that promise. In every single case, Jesus Christ is the yea and the amen. I'm talking about promises like we find in John chapter 17. Listen at these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words that Jesus spake as he lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and he spoke to his heavenly Father, and he said these words, Father, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I'm talking about a promise here that God and his Son Jesus made. I'm talking about the covenant of grace and the covenant of election that was made before the foundation of the world. As you read these scriptures, you figure out here that there is a group. There is a definitive, definite numbered people contained in this group of people that God the Father gave to his Son. That's what Jesus said. He said that his Father had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. There's no mistaking what we're talking about here. We're talking about everlasting life. His Father gave the Son, Jesus, power over all flesh, that he should give. I have that word give underlined in my Bible. It's a reason that the word offer is not written there. There's a great and important reason why the word offer is not written in that verse, as much of the denominational world today would like it to be. I'm glad that it's not there. I'm glad the word give is there. The reason that God gave this power to his Son over all flesh is that he should give, not offer, not a proposition, but that he should give eternal life to how many? As many as thou hast given him. It's not some unknown and unspecified number. It's some mass of humanity that God is still waiting to find out who it might be. That's not the case. These words are important. These are promises right here, promises of God. Can you see how Jesus Christ is right in the middle of this? He says his Father gave him the power to give eternal life to every single one that the Father gave him. And it's in that covenant of election, in the covenant of grace. The Father gave him a number of people. How is that? Because God knew them, he foreknew them, and he predestinated them, and he called them, and he chose them, and he gave them to his Son, that his Son would come down to this earth and do and complete a work to save them and to give them eternal life. Eternal life is so important with God. There's no way God is leaving that up to chance. It's not some casino game of chance It's too important for that. God says, I'll take care of the eternal life. He says, my son will save my people. And Jesus says, the Father gave me the power to do that. He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You find someone that has eternal life today, you're looking at someone who knows God. Not just has heard about him, but you're looking at someone who knows God in an intimate way. Now, how did he get that way? How did he become to the situation to where he or she now knows God? It's because God has introduced himself to the person. This is all so beautifully tied together and blended together in God's plan of salvation. It cannot be messed up by man. Aren't you glad of that this morning? That we can't mess it up? I promise you, if we could, if I had one little part in it, I would mess it up. How is it that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent? It's because God has made a promise. Part of that new covenant that God made, he said, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. You remember that? In Hebrews chapter 8, God says, I will do that. I'll put my laws in the hearts of my children. I will write it in their minds, and they'll be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying what? Know the Lord. Know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? God says, you're not going to teach everybody that. And he says, why? Because they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. They shall all know me. How are they going to all know him? Because Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. You see how all that just fits together and harmonizes together so beautifully? You see the great work that God has done? You see the promises of God? You see how Jesus Christ is yea and amen concerning these promises? There's no nay in here. There's no nay in here at all. In fact, in John chapter 6, Jesus says these important words. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We've read that a number of times. Some of you can probably quote it. All that the Father giveth me, there's that set number of people again. There's the same collection of people that God has chosen out, and he has given to his precious Son to save them, that he might give unto them eternal life, because God desires that they receive eternal life, and his Son has the power to give it. Isn't that beautiful? He says, they'll all come to me. He says, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, and he says, and here is my Father's will. This is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He references that group of people again. He says, every single one that my Father gave me in the covenant of election and in the covenant of grace, he says, I will not lose a single one. Why? Because they're all going to come to me. They're going to come to me in regeneration. I will save them. I have power over all flesh to give unto them eternal life. And he says, now here's my Father's will. I'm sharing with you. This is what my Father desires. He says, this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And he says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. There's no mistaking which type of salvation he's speaking of here. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about eternal salvation. The promises of God in him are yea and amen. Yes, assuredly, verily, truthfully, very affirmative, a very strong yes, all in Jesus Christ. I love that. In Mark chapter 9, there's a man over there that comes to the Lord Jesus with a request. He came to the master, and in verse 17, he says, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, he pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered, and he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And so they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit that was in that young boy tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And he began to explain to the Lord Jesus how that this terrible dumb spirit that was in this child of his said it oftentimes had tried to destroy him by casting him into the fire and into the waters. Then he has a question for the Lord Jesus, and he says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Did you notice that the man, when he came to the Lord Jesus seeking help, he didn't come fully understanding who Jesus was. And he didn't come fully understanding about the power that Jesus has. Because he comes and he asks a question, he says, if thou canst do anything, if you're able to do anything. I think this man did not know that the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yea and amen. This man didn't know that. And he says, if you're able to do something, would you please help me? Would you help us? And you have to love Jesus' answer. You have to love the way the Lord answered him. And he says, I'm sure that the Lord Jesus looked him dead in the eye. And he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, can you help me? Can you help my son? This evil spirit, he won't let him speak. He's a dumb spirit. My son cannot speak. And his spirit is so evil, he tries to destroy my son. He wants to cast him in the water and to drown him. And he wants to cast him into the fire and destroy him. If thou canst do anything, please help. How about if thou canst believe? Jesus says, if you can believe, if you could just believe, he says, all things are possible because he is the yea and the amen. All things in him are yea. There is no nay in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this. This man came to Jesus seeking for help. Did Jesus tell him, no, I'm not going to help you? I'm sorry, your belief is too weak. Your faith is a little bit too weak. I'm sorry, I'm not helping you. You didn't believe strong enough. What did Jesus do? He helped the man. You read through here and it says, the man cried out. The man cried out with tears. I understand about these tears because I'm not making fun of this man. This man is me. You know what he said? The man says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He cried out with tears. When Jesus looked at him and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, yes, all things are possible. And he said, the tears began to flow down this man's face. It began to flow out of his eyes. And he said, Lord, I believe, I do believe, but help mine unbelief. That's me. Beloved, that's me at different times in my life. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Have you ever had a time where you were not sure if the Lord could help you concerning a matter? Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever been your case? Have you ever wondered how you're going to pay a bill? Have you ever wondered how you're going to take care of this situation in my life? I've had this come up, and now it's a big challenge. I just wonder how I'm going to take care of this. Have you ever had a moment of unbelief? Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Lord, if thou canst help me, Would you please help? That's me. Haven't we all believed in God, but yet at some other times and at some certain times in our life, we have underrated what the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do, underestimated what he can do? Do you ever have a situation in your life come up where you don't know how you're going to handle it? I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is yea and amen. The promises of God in him are yea. There is no nay. Paul says when we preach Jesus, we didn't preach any nay. All we preached was yea. I thought about this. This man came for help. What did Jesus do? He helped him. Matthew chapter 8, there's a man that's a leper, comes to him, came down, and he said, a leper worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I like the way this man speaks a whole lot better. He doesn't say, Lord, if thou canst, if you're able to. This man says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That's the way I want to pray. He came to Jesus for help, and he had the dreaded disease of leprosy. And he says, Lord, if you will, you can help me. I know that you can. Jesus put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will. And he says, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Every single case I could think of where somebody came to Jesus for help, you know what the answer was? Yea. The answer was yea. It was never a nay from the Lord Jesus. Can you think of one this morning? Are you able to think of an example in the scriptures where somebody came to Jesus and Jesus' answer was no? I'm talking about we have a Savior that we can come to and we can bring our troubles to and the things that are burdening our hearts and know that the answer from him is going to be yea. Is he going to grant you every single request in life that you ever make of him? I highly doubt it. Because there's sometimes we're going to ask amiss. And because he loves us so much, hopefully he won't give us every single thing we ask for because it'd be terrible for us. And he knows that. But do you think you could ever ask something good of the Lord Jesus Christ and his answer might ever be no or might be nay? I don't think it will. He is yea and amen. There in verse 5, so here's another man in Matthew 8. Jesus entered in Capernaum, and here comes a centurion saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Here's another man's got paralysis. He's grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. He didn't say nay. He says, I will come and heal him. What a wonderful story. His yea and amen. And so the man tried to tell the Lord Jesus, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. But he says, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. He says, I'm a man. I have authority. I have soldiers underneath me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I tell another one to do something, and he goes, and he does it. Jesus heard that, and he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In verse 13, Jesus said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So be it. Yea. Amen. So be it. He says, go your way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Can you think of a time where someone came to Jesus seeking help and he refused to help them? Do you think there's a moment in your life where you need help from the Lord Jesus and he's not going to help you? I know we don't have all the answers. Who knows what this week's going to bring to us? Who knows what we're going to face this coming week or maybe next month? I don't know what it is, but I know one thing. I know that my Lord and my Savior is yea and amen, and I know that he can help. And that there's no nay in him. What does that mean to you this morning to know that your Savior, that all of the promises of God, all the precious, timeless promises of God are wrapped up in your Savior, Jesus Christ, in him, and are yea and amen in Jesus. I hope that means something to you this morning. I hope that it moves your heart. I hope that it touches your heart to think about your Savior that way, that all he is yes. Truly, surely, in the strongly affirmative, yes, that's what he is. There's so many negative things in life. Is there anything your Savior's not able to do? Wasn't there a time where some people were sitting on the side of the hill and Jesus was preaching? This is in Matthew 14, what I'm thinking of. It was evening time. Jesus had been preaching to a great multitude of people. It's in Matthew 14, verse 14. And it says that Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Can you think of a time where somebody that was sick came to the Lord Jesus and he didn't heal them? Can you think of a time where someone died in the presence of the Lord Jesus? I can think of some, they came back to life when he came on the scene. I can't think of one that ever died in the presence of Jesus. You know why? Because he's yea and amen. And he has power over all flesh. There's several times where Jesus came after somebody died, and what did he do? He spoke life back into them. He spoke life back into them, and they arose from the dead. Because he has power over all flesh. His Father gave him that power. Here he's speaking to all these people. Jesus is moved with compassion and he healed their sick ones. We talked, was it last weekend, about the man had the palsy and he was crippled in his bed and his friends brought him and they tore a hole in the roof and they let him down in front of Jesus. What did he do? He healed him. Every single case, it's yea and amen. Here, it gets late in the day. It's evening time. The disciples come to him and saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go in the villages and buy themselves victuals, necessary food and drink. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible right here. One of my favorites. He tells his disciples, they don't have to go away. Feed them. Give them something to eat. I could see the looks on their faces as they looked puzzled, looking at one another. Feed them what? This is a desert place. They say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we have. And it says later, down in verse 21, we don't know how many people it was, but it was 5,000 men plus the women and children that were there. It could have been 8,000, might have been 10,000. Who knows? All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are we supposed to feed them? Because the yea and the amen is standing there in their midst is how they're going to be fed. Your Lord and Savior, not only is it only yea and only amen concerning him and everything about him, he also can create things out of nothing. You and I can't do that. You see where he far exceeds the capability of our minds to comprehend who he is and what he does. The yea and the amen. Every single promise of God wrapped up in him. Yes, so be it. May it be so. They said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, bring them hither. They sat down. You know what happened. I'm sure every one of you have read this before. They break the loaves and Jesus gave thanks. And then look what it says in verse 20. This is 5 or 10,000 people here. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And in verse 20 it says, they did all eat and were filled. Can somebody this morning help me understand how they were filled? How is it that they not only ate, but they were filled? How did they have enough food for them to be filled and then have 12 baskets of fragments left over that they picked up? Because Jesus, the yea and the amen, was standing there in their midst and he blessed the food. Is there some situation in your life that might be plaguing or troubling you today that you can't figure out how you're going to get out of it, or how's this going to work out? How are things going to work out acceptably and in a good way? Because your Savior is the yea and the amen. That's how it's going to work out. Because every single person that ever came to him asking for help received the help, because there was no nay in him. There wasn't any no. Only a yea and an amen. How is it that they were filled? And as if that wasn't enough, I'll tell you, if I had more time, I could tell you a personal example of how Jesus performed this same miracle in my life. I can't tell you how he did it. I can't show you on paper how he did it, but I promise you he did it. He did a miracle just like this for me. He's done it for others. I don't know how he does it all. I just know he does it. Isn't that something? As if this wasn't enough, just to prove to you that it wasn't a fluke and or some accident, a very short time later, he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few little fishes. I've often wondered, I wonder how small they really were. Because the Bible says they were little fishes. It says they were little. They were not huge fish. I've caught some 100-pound amberjack and fish like that in the Gulf of Mexico, deep sea fishing. But it says they were little fishes. 7 loaves and little fishes, and they fed 4,000 people. And somehow, miracle of all miracles, there's 7 baskets of food left over. How can someone do that? He did it. He did it. He'll do it in your life. He can do it in your life. You don't need to pray to him, Lord, if thou canst. We need to pray, Lord, if thou wilt, just like the leper did. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst help me. That's how I want to pray. The yea and the amen. I'll tell you, that's some good thoughts to me. I never really stopped and thought about that very much, about the importance of what Paul said to the Corinthians. But I just love that. He says, in our preaching, when we came to you and we talked about Jesus, it wasn't yea, yea, and nay, nay. It wasn't a big mixture of the two, but it was all yea. I hope that my preaching until the day I die, when however long the Lord gives me an opportunity to, if I have any soundness of mind, I hope that my preaching is all yea, yea, yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that'll help you when we have a great time of need. May God bless and keep each one of you this morning.